It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, we bring you Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. How are we doing,
hey,
Aaron?
John? Hello? Are you there?
I am here.
How are you doing? What's going on, man? It's March Madness, isn't it?
It is. Very excited. For that, everyone will go on spring break and be elsewhere. So everybody knows, and you're aware, we will not be doing a show next week. Aaron and I, like we said, it's spring break time in Wisconsin, and we're taking our kids places. So, yeah,
and early spring break this year too, which is odd.
It feels later because it feels like it's been spring forever in Wisconsin.
It does, and actually, and the thing is too. So, like, you're going to Germany. Friend of the show, Pete's going to Disney World. I have friends going to Cancun and everywhere else, and we're taking this time over spring break to head up north. We have some family stuff to deal with, so we're going up north. So we're driving into the snow for spring break. So, you know, this year is not the beach year. Sorry.
So, that's all right.
Off to Duluth, Minnesota.
Perfect. All right. Well, we want to remind everybody that we are available on all the socials. You can find this show. It's at Scotty Johnny Pod, whether you're on X, whether you're on Mastodon, or whether you're on Blue Sky. But for me, you find me on X, Twitter at Not So Humble Host. You can find me on Blue Sky at J.E. Barnett. And you can find me on Mastodon at Scotty Johnny. So, Aaron, where do people find you?
John, you can find me on X, Twitter, at Cheddar Talk, at Cheddar Talk.
Excellent. All right, with that, let's just roll right into the madness of the segment of our show that we like to call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, so we want to... The main event is going to be, essentially at this point, the tournament. Because it is March Madness. This is one of the few areas where an entire league or sport or thing gets a month. It's just the month is named for the thing. There's not Super Bowl January or February or whatever. It's this March Madness, right? And quite honestly, the first two rounds are the best two rounds. By the final four, unless your team's in it, it's just kind of like, whatever. Because quite honestly, our brackets are going to be garbage by the final four. Like, nobody, there's very, it's rare that you're still duking it out for, like, I definitely need them to win 72-51 to get this one. You're like, no, I don't know. What we had this last weekend here has been the tournament, and basically, of the four Wisconsin D1 men's basketball programs, three of them made the conference final and lost. And the other one is Green Bay. GB lost to Milwaukee, and then Dub Mill continued winning until they got all the way to the final and played Oakland, and they played them great. Like, we talked about that last week.
Played them really good for the first 37 minutes, what's each half in college basketball? I'm blanking.
It's 40 minutes for the full game, so it's 20 minutes.
So for the first 37 minutes, they played really, really well.
Yeah. So we talked about that one a little bit last time, but Wisconsin gets a good win against the game they should win. They get the early one, and then they had to play Northwestern, which is not a sure thing. Northwestern, that was a 4-5 game. So those teams you figure are pretty much locked together, and that's where they get through, and they had a good game from Story. They had good games. Blackwell played well. And they push their way past Northwestern. They're a well-coached team. It's just they've got decent enough talent, and they're well-coached, and they got guys who know their roles and play well. They've been a pretty good team. Not a great, Big Ten team, but a good team. And then Wisconsin had to play Purdue. Like, the congratulations, semifinal against Purdue. That's what you get for beating Northwestern.
Right. Now you're going to go play Edie, who fouls on every single play. And
nobody calls anything.
Nobody calls fouls against
except,
him.
Except he got two immediately. Immediately. Right. On the same play, basically. Like, mm-hmm. he fouls a guy and then pushes, like, walks up and just chest bumps Klesmet for no reason. Like, Klesmet's mm-hmm. just standing there and just didn't move out of his way, thinking Edie's walking around him. And then he just chest bumps him and then smiles and laughs and turns and says something to Crowell, I guess, and he got teed mm-hmm. up and he got a double right away. So he's got two fouls.
Yep, I was watching that.
It was amazing. It was like, what an incredibly dumb thing for him to do.
I now understand, as someone who doesn't watch a lot of Big Ten basketball, why everyone hates him. they don't call fouls on him usually, except for in that instance you said, and then they call imaginary fouls against the other team, like when he is running over Wall on the way to the basket. You know, it was frustrating to watch.
Wall was standing dead still off of a switch and ends up just getting absolutely murdered. Like, he gets run straight through, getting stepped on the way down, and they called Wall, who is standing dead still. I don't know what else he could have done. That didn't change the outcome of the game, I guess, because the Badgers still won.
Well, but where's this? I don't have the stat line up right now. The Badgers had to make 9 more field goals, though, just to win the game.
Just to win the game.
Because one third of their scoring, Purdue's scoring, was free throws. So I don't have that stat line up right now. I should probably have it up in front of me. But it was
it's crazy.
I think the Badgers only shot 9 or 11 free throws.
I think they were like 5 of 9.
Right.
Though that game got out of control and was strange. But at the same time, the Badgers really understood themselves through that and did a good job of getting things done. I'll tell you, Chucky Hepburn, this has been just an incredible bounce back year. We had a lot of things to say about him last year. I think he last year really felt he had to take over and be the guy and had to do all the Johnny Davis stuff. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't his game. That's not his game. He really understood himself this year. His defense, he changed about 6 points of that game is just his defense ability. Probably 8, I'd say. It was fantastic play by him defensively, getting in there. Had a couple nice rebounds on places where he's just absolutely in the right place. A couple times he dribbled, basically, he pulled the Magellan. He goes all the way around him, but under in the way differently. Like, I call it the Magellan offense. My fifth grade girls routinely get the rebound and then dribble out around the entire 3-point line and then back towards the hoop. And I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you go to the other side of the hoop? Why? But he did it kind of the other way, where he's at 3-point, kind of comes in like he can get there, realizes he's going to end up below the hoop, just comes back out and just resets. I mean,
it's very Wayne Gretzky. He's going to set up behind the net.
Behind the net.
Come back out.
The number of times where basically they ran a slow screen where Crawl come out, set the pick, and then he would step around, and Crawl mostly would take the turn on the pick and roll and kind of head towards the basket, and Chucky was just kind of hanging his shadow, like they mm-hmm. couldn't quite get to him because he's got his defender on his hip and the other defender's on the other side, and he'd get in there and sometimes he'd kick out, sometimes he'd take the shot, but he played incredibly smart basketball. And really set up the rest of the team to do good things. It wasn't Storr's greatest game against Purdue, but he did enough to really make mm-hmm. them have to go after him. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, a lot of guys played great. Klesmet has been just – in the tournament there, he was great.
He was. Klesmet was awesome. I think he was very underrated. He didn't get talked about nearly as much. I mean, Chucky really stepped up. Storr really looked the part. I mean – Storr has some real talent to him. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Is he a league player when college is done? He kind of.
Storr's going to be there. I don't know if it's this year, but he's going to have a career in the league.
He's got the physical attributes. I mean, he's really good. But, I mean, yeah, they gave Storr and Chucky a lot of the credit. And Klesmet was pretty solid the whole way through and really, really turned it on in the final game against, which we haven't talked about yet, but against Illinois, too.
Yeah. Well, the funniest part was I got the things up here for the box score, but I'm pretty sure that Purdue didn't make an actual field goal in the entire overtime. You know, like they
that checks out.
Only got free throws. That was all they did. So yeah, I'm looking at like the Badgers. What is this? So the Badgers shoot 32 of 74 in the game. 7 of 32 from 3 points. So they weren't being saved by their 3-point shots. It just happened. And Purdue ends up shooting, you know, what is it, 25 of 51, which is slightly better shooting percentage than the Badgers, but the Badgers were able to get, they were able to get way more second chance points. The Boilermakers just kind of, I mean, like, it's 74 shots to 51 shots. Free throws, though, 32 to 9 in attempts.
Yeah.
I was right. It was 5 out of 9.
Yep.
That's what the Badgers, 5 out of 9.
I was sort of right. I said 9 or 11. I couldn't quite exactly remember, but.
Yeah. Those are crazy. But the Badgers played a great game there, and it isn't just that Purdue fell apart. I mean, it definitely helped that Edie got in foul trouble early. Mm-hmm. But the Badgers played a good game, and then they did play a good game against Illinois. They just didn't have enough. Illinois is great. This was a. What do they keep saying? I've been watching Illinois a couple times. This is the highest scoring Illinois team in school history. So
they do score. They do score at will. I mean, somewhere Bo Ryan's turning in his proverbial grave because who would have imagined a Big Ten final game where both teams scored over 85 points?
Yeah, 93-87, and it was closer than that. And
they were showing some of the scores of Big Ten title games in the past where Wisconsin and Illinois have played each other. And one of the games is like 39-46. You know what I'm saying? Like Illinois, I don't know. So I know they scored 90 plus points in the game before in their semifinal game. Did they score 90 in every single round? They're pretty potent, man. And that big guy from Waupun, his name escapes me.
Oh, Demast.
Yeah, Demast. That dude kind of just plays a type of bully ball that really can't be stopped.
He's a shooting power forward, basically. Like he had been a power forward, lost some weight to basically. Do you play 4 or 3 at this point? Fantastic.
Sometimes he just pushes his way to the rim. And what was the other kid's name? The other really good kid they got?
Shannon.
Sanders? Shannon. That dude.
He can play.
He can just play. Demask kind of plays underneath, like he's being coached and there's regiment to it. Shannon, they just kind of let him just do whatever he wants. And he kind of just scores at will.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this. So against Nebraska in the semifinal, it was 98-87. Against Ohio State, 77-74, 73-61 against Iowa. They did lose to Purdue, 77-71. So they're very grateful not to play them again.
What was that? What was the meme I saw yesterday? Virginia's basketball team and Iowa football team's offense,
which is
it was the Spider-Man just pointing at each other.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, I don't know. That was.
Sorry,
I do love Tony Bennett.
When you said Iowa,
Iowa. I do
and,
love
and,
Tony.
And the biggest and the biggest beef is too is that they let Virginia in to just score, 43 points and look like a. When we were denied having Indiana State and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the tournament instead, which is a sin. You need to see that kid play. You know who I'm talking about, right? Indiana State. Sorry.
Oh, Indiana State. Okay. Yeah.
Has the big Avila, the big white guy with glasses, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he's kind of pillowy looking. You got to look him up. He doesn't look the part.
I like,
but he's got some moves. Like
I hadn't heard him called Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's new to me.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the nickname for that guy now. So, and nice. He can play, he can pass. His game is without hyperbole. I'm not going to go that, but it's Jokic like, let's put it that way.
All right. Marquette had a very good run here too. They get the overtime win over Villanova. Then they play Providence. They beat up Providence pretty well, 79-68. These are both great wins when you consider Kolek's not there. Their offense looked weird. a little stuttered based from, I mean, what Kolek does out there changes the way you guard that team, I think, entirely. Watching the way they played against UConn, especially, the number of times where they set Iguodaro up for a clear out. Like, everybody went to the right side of the floor and they let him go left. Just to let Iguodaro do it. They can't play with UConn. I don't care. And I've got talked to several of my Marquette friends, and they're like, well, Kolek wasn't in. Like, well, Kolek was in, they beat you too. Like, they did it once already. Two of their three wins over Marquette, they didn't have Kolek, but the one they did, it wasn't closer. You know, like, not by much. That's the biggest thing, is that Marquette still is going to have trouble with height. And that Klingon, he's like a Klingon. Klingon.
Yeah, I was going to say, from the planet Klingon?
Yeah, Donovan Klingon, that dude, there was nothing Iguodaro could do to him on offense. There were a couple of plays where he's getting like three rebounds, because if he doesn't put it in, he's just going to get the rebound. He just out-muscled everybody down there. Iguodaro is their only real hope for there, because, I mean, as nice as Joplin is, he's not a legit four. I mean, not really. I mean, he's a forward, but you'd rather have another taller guy out there with him, someone, you know, who can go out and do that. Joplin wasn't beaten clinging to any of these boards or anything like that, and he had a double-double. I'm trying to think what his actual rebound totals were here. He had 16 rebounds, 22 points. So, yeah, no, he just – there was nothing – they didn't have an answer for him, and they had – good guard play too, but the biggest thing was just they can't guard him, they can't stop him. He's going to, if they want to, they can just feed it in there to him all day. He's more of a traditional big guy. I don't know how he translates. I don't think he's got really the quickness necessarily. I could be wrong, but he looked like he's a guy who bullies guys who aren't 7 feet tall, and he's not going to draw them away from the basket. He doesn't shoot threes like Kral does. So I don't know. I mean, like, he's definitely going to be a problem in the tournament. He was a problem for Marquette all year and beat him up pretty badly. He looked really, really good. That team looks really good. This is the one thing
Marquette needs to do. Look really good. So the NCAA rewarded them for looking so good by putting them in the hardest quadrant of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. So looking at where the tournaments are, Wisconsin and Marquette both in the bracket, the South.
Yeah, which there should be a rule against that, like.
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of chatter about some of the seeding and some of the placement in this year's tournament.
Why did they even give them regional names? I mean, yeah, Purdue's in the Midwest region. You know who else is? Oregon, Utah State, Gonzaga, McNeese State. Like, oh, yeah, Colorado in the Midwest. But the West has Clemson and Colgate.
And if you want to say, like, you know, it's based on the number one team. Because if you go by the number one team, Houston's number one in the South. UConn's number one in the East. Purdue's number one in the Midwest. Number one in the West, North Carolina. Yeah. Well, that doesn't make sense now, does it?
Somebody's got to be the West.
Right.
I guess maybe you put Houston in the West and then say North Carolina's in the South. That makes more sense. Whatever.
Nevada, New Mexico.
Number the regions.
The West, yes.
Just number them. Stop pretending that.
Hey, maybe if we call them legends and what was it?
Legends and leaders.
Leaders and legends, yeah.
That would work.
Yes.
Just looking at the bracket that they have here. I'll be very honest. I think Marquette gets a big win here by the sheer fact that, I mean, they're the number two seed in the South. I think Houston's the better matchup for them. I don't think they want to play Purdue. I think the height kills them, just murders them. Like, it's hard. That's their biggest Achilles heel. If they're going to play...
That's rough at a sport full of tall people, by the way.
Right, but if they're going to play a team of guard matchups, I think that favors Marquette very much. I think they got a better chance against Houston. I have them coming out of this region. And I have Wisconsin losing the first round because they get the James Madison draw. That's the one... It's the worst single draw Wisconsin could have had in this bracket. I'd have rather been... you could be, what, the sixth seed? You'd have played North Carolina State. That's not great either, I guess. But still, no. Oakland is going to be in this bracket with Kentucky is the 3-14 matchup.
I mean, Nebraska got A&M at 9. That would be better.
Yeah, an 8-9 bid right there. So Nebraska gets the 8 seed, and they got Texas A&M. I don't want to play James Madison. How is James Madison a 12 seed? It makes
And the 12s are, I mean, I'm not sure what UAB is, but the 12, Grand Canyon is also a really good team, as is McNeese.
Like UAB looked very good through the tournament.
Okay, so UAB is good. So, like, I guess if you're going to be a 5 team, I guess there was, like, they did get the worst of the 12 because it looks like James Madison is a legit team with two legit. I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be James Madison genius, you know. I'm not. But, like, listening to the shows, like, James Madison has got two potential pro basketball players on their team, and they won 31 games. But, I mean, it's between James Madison, UAB, McNeese, and Grand Canyon. And it's like all those teams, I mean, one of them is going to win. Yeah. One of them is going to win.
The ones that I'm looking at, when I'm looking at my bracket, yeah, UAB, I think they're pretty decent. And the best thing is they get San Diego State. And I don't trust any Mountain West team because it's been proven they know how to game the RPI. And they tend to lose earlier than they're projected to.
I mean, hey, and let's, before we get anywhere else, since you said it, the Mountain West got 6 teams in.
Yeah.
And the Big East got 3 teams in.
The Big East wasn't deep this year. There's no one beyond
Are you telling me that, you know, so what? It was UConn.
Providence should have gotten in instead of somebody else.
Instead of some Mountain West team, right.
Yeah. The Mountain West has gamed the system. Like, I'm not joking. They understand who to schedule, how to schedule, where to play games so as to specifically boost their RPI, which is part of what they use in here. And they're gaming the system. And they've been doing it for a long time. And quite honestly, they should, because it makes them money.
Yeah, game within the game. And if it's not illegal, go ahead and do it. I mean, you're not hurting anybody by doing it. So.
Yeah, they just get in. But I don't trust them when they get in. I don't trust any of them to be as good as they say they are. That's one I think is a rough one for them. Wisconsin's going to have James Madison. That's not the greatest matchup, especially in the tournament. What you're going to have to say is that we're going to need to have them just find a way to get bigs involved early, and just have that, you know, just, I don't know. I'm just trying to look at their roster. I mean, like, they've got 6'2" guards. They got a guy who's 6'9", and he seems to be their tallest player. So, yeah, I mean, like, the one thing they'll have is that Wisconsin's going to have a lot of height. Wall and Crawl are going to have to find ways to be valuable here.
Wall's got to be smart and not fall out of a game.
That's true.
That's actually one of the most egregious things from the game the other day. Now, granted, his fifth foul was pretty bad. Like, that should have been
a clean block.
You're a fifth-year senior, dude. Don't be getting taken out of a game with over 5 minutes left because you fouled out.
Right.
You know, you need to be on the court. So there is an art to avoiding fouls.
Yeah.
So don't hack the dude when he's going up for an easy layup. Let him have the easy layup.
Yeah, they're making free throws. Yeah, James Madison, though, they've got the guard play, and guard play is huge here. I think the big things for Wisconsin to win this are use the height down low, get those defensive rebounds, don't give up second-chance points, get second-chance points, win the game in the paint. And then also we're going to have to see Klesmet and Chucky Hepburn making defensive plays, turning defense into offense quickly. Those are going to be the big things that are going to make this change and get Wisconsin win. Wisconsin's actually favored by 5.5. I'm not picking them, like I said. I don't trust them. My rule of thumb, and I told Aaron this pre-show, from like 2000 through probably 2015, 17, somewhere in there, my rule of thumb was always pick Wisconsin one game past where they're supposed to win based on seeding, because they always misseeded them. That's not true anymore. It's just not true anymore. So, and this is a bad 5-12. I just don't like it. If they win, they get the winner of Duke and Vermont. I don't want to play either of those teams either. Vermont is a consistent. They are a perennial team here out of American East. They have guys who have all played in the tournament several times. They're not afraid of anybody. The Catamounts, they're a legitimate team in college basketball. And Duke is good. They're not as good as they think they are, but they're still a good team. So that'll be neither one of those is good matchups. I don't like any of that. But Marquette, we'll say the first matchup doesn't mean anything. Western Kentucky is a team they should beat easily. I think they're favored by 15.5 right now on the spread. But the next game is almost certainly Florida, who played very well through the SEC tournament. And then if they win, the most likely outcome is playing Kentucky, or maybe even NC State, who both look very good in their conference tournaments as well. Marquette will have Kolick. He played 5-on-5 scrimmaging today. So I expect to see him out there Friday, when both Marquette and Wisconsin will play Friday. But I think that they're I think if he's there, they win and get out of the first round and the second round. And I think they'll be playing next weekend in the Sweet 16. I don't think Wisconsin gets that first round. I definitely don't see him in a Sweet 16. I would love to be wrong. I'm going to be rooting for both these teams like crazy. And what I want is an Elite Eight matchup of Wisconsin and Marquette. And that would be fantastic because it's a win-win for everyone who's not a Marquette fan, I guess. Because, yes. You know, everyone else, all the Wisconsin fans will still root for Marquette if they win. We just will. It's just fine because we don't care.
Hey, I do have a question for you. Sorry, I was go muted. Ahead. I was trying to ask this question earlier.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I got the sniffle, so I was muted, and I forgot to unmute when I was looking at the bracket. Western Kentucky, they've got the mascot that's the big red blob, right?
Yeah, they're the Hilltoppers, but their mascot is just he's like a Muppet that was left in the oven too long.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, and what else I was going to say back to Wisconsin, too, is like Wisconsin's route to even try and get out of the South is ridiculous.
It is crazy.
Yeah, you got to beat the best lowest seed team, then Duke or Vermont, like you said, the Catamounts, who aren't a joke. And then, oh, hey, here's Houston or Nebraska ball, one of the two, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not the East. The East is stupid. FAU has an 8. Like UConn, once they beat Stetson, they're going to have to play. Yeah, the East is this year. I heard a lot of grumbling about the committee this year about just not so much the teams making it in or out.
The seedings,
you know, Indiana State was the biggest snub, especially once Virginia got just smoked last night. But
UConn gets that crazy one where they got it. Yeah, Florida Atlantic and Northwestern as an 8-9. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean they're the number one overall seed.
Like, and Northwestern should legit be a 7, or somewhere in there, 7 or 6.
And then, like you said, UAB is a 12. You know, in San Diego State, Auburn's in there, BYU, Duquesne was pretty good. Illinois, we saw them. They won
that team was good
tournament. Morehead State is a pretty good 14.
I'm going to be rooting for the 16 there though, because the Stetson Hatters. Maybe the greatest name in all of college sports.
Love it.
The Stetson Hatters.
I mean, the number two in that, the number two in the East is Iowa State.
Yeah.
Who's the best number two?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think, right? But as far as like rankings go,
They're going to say they're the worst because UConn got the 1 and they snake. So that's got to be the lowest 2 according to the committee.
That's what the committee's saying, but in actuality, Iowa State might be the best number two. It's weird. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying not what the committee's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a look at the other twos because Tennessee.
Iowa State as opposed to Marquette, Tennessee, or Arizona.
Tennessee, I think, might be. Yeah, because Tennessee's really good, too.
Yeah.
But then Arizona, I think, maybe slightly overrated as being that where they are, they might be the worst too.
Yeah, but then like the number three in the Midwest is Creighton, and West is Baylor, and the number three in the South is Kentucky, and the number three in the East is Big Ten champion Illinois. You know, it's like it's weird. Like just looking around, like, oh well, this is kind of odd. And you know, and usually in the past too, the committee, when there is two teams from one state, especially a state that doesn't have a lot of D1 teams, they usually don't put them in the same quarter.
Yeah, you know? not frequently. Kansas Wichita State was a big one a couple years back because Kansas ducks Wichita State, which is why Wichita State doesn't like Kansas, because they duck them. They won't play them. Wisconsin plays Marquette every year, and Marquette still finds a reason to be upset about it. And they're like, yeah, they don't have to play you. Like, they could go play cupcakes, but they like playing you because they play the in-state teams.
Right.
My final four, and I'm going to say this now, everyone will see it in the morning, obviously, is I got Tennessee against Marquette and North Carolina against Illinois. That's my final four, and I got North Carolina beating Tennessee.
I don't keep up on it nearly as well as you do, but I did have Marquette. I did have Marquette coming out of the South. So
I think them against Houston is such a good matchup for Marquette, and you know some of it's maybe a little fandom there, but I mean I think that what they can do defensively against Houston is going to be good. Houston in their way out of the conference championship games, they all the different ones who fell. You know, Purdue fell. Houston fell, all that stuff. And, you know, we've got UConn. They managed to go and win theirs. But Marquette fought their way through with a bunch of injuries. I think they're feeling very confident right now, and they should. Their defense is still good. Great guard play. I think they're set for a good run in this tournament. It's a rough road because Florida as a 7 is no joke. So, yeah. But I think they match up really well.
I think I had UConn coming out of the East because they're the number one overall, and I saw them beat up on Marquette pretty good. Then I had Marquette coming out of the South. And then for no reason other than got Alabama from the West, and wow. I think I had Creighton coming out of the Midwest just out of spite for the Big East being. as opposed to UConn's quarter of the bracket, Purdue's quarter of the bracket seems a little bit more. Nothing's a cakewalk, but cakewalkier. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, their top bracket, their trip to the Elite Eight is Grambling State. You know, I mean, it's a 116, whatever.
Now Utah State should have been higher than 8, so that's going to be rough. But
State, TCU, so. I'm not horribly enamored of either of those. Gonzaga, not one of the strongest Gonzaga teams we've seen in the last several years. Right. They'll play McNeese, and I think Gonzaga still wins that, but. Kansas is a 4, though. They've been inconsistent. And there was a lot of expectation for this Kansas team. They got, what's his name? Stupid Face out of Michigan transferred over there.
Stevens Point kid.
No. I can't remember his name. I just hated him so much. He made me so mad.
Stupid Face. That's his name.
Ran out of ideas. I'll think of it later, but he's just made me so mad. He's like not great, and then down by 10, he hits a 3, and there's like a minute left, and they're like, "We're gonna lose by 7," and he's like yelling at the fans and holding up the 3, and you're like, "You're getting murdered. Your whole team is, and you're terrible. That's the third basket you've made in 37 minutes." It's like,
But the rest of that quarter too. I mean, it's like South Carolina, Oregon, Creighton has a 3. I mean,
I was seeing early Joe Lenardi stuff. They were showing the possibility that it was going to be a 6-11 of Wisconsin versus Oregon, and you know the entire state of Oregon's like, not again, just not again, because Wisconsin's knocked Oregon out like 3 times in the last 6 years. They're so mad. They got the last coach got fired for that.
Yeah.
Dickinson. Way, remember him out of Michigan? Dickinson. He's playing with Kansas. Watched him early season. He's fine. He's overrated. And he got to go to Kansas where everyone will continue to overrate him because he's wearing a Jayhawk jersey. And I personally like the Jayhawks. I just don't think this is.
You like their motto.
Rock Chalk Jayhawk, KU.
That's the whole reason why you like that.
Let me tell you why exactly I do like Kansas, because we got a little bit of time here because we don't have any Packers.
Because nobody likes Kansas. It's flat and it's the worst part. It's the worst state to drive across.
When I was in Kuwait on the first tour, we were there. My wife got a job offer that she could have taken a position with somebody she'd previously worked for, going to Kansas City doing loan processing or loan origination stuff. But anyhow, it would have been in Kansas City. So we were talking about that, and I was like, I guess that'd be fine. I wanted to go and look at going to grad school and stuff. So I started looking around. And I was like, I could go to K-State or Kansas. And I was like, Kansas is a great university, actually. And you know, truth be told, my cousin recently graduated from KU Law School. It's also a very good law school. And you know, we were looking at some of that. So what do you do when you want to know if you want to go to a school or you're thinking about going to a school?
You go look at it.
Into NCAA football and you play as that school.
So
that's what I did, is I started playing as Kansas. And little did I know, this was actually like 2 years before they went to the Orange Bowl. Remember that team with Aqib Talib and was it Myers? He was a quarterback who was made into a tight end.
Yeah.
So it was that team 2 years before that team happened. So I, of course, went and changed all their names to who they were, because we all know that's what they were doing. And so I knew who Aqib Talib was 2 years before anybody was aware who he was. And I was like, yeah, this guy's gonna be great. And then whatever. First four-star I recruited was a kid out of Sheboygan, a wide receiver, four-star out of Sheboygan.
Of course.
And I was like, all right, this is great. And so I started doing the Rock Chalk Jayhawk, and sadly now my my sister-in-law is a K-State fan, and I feel like I can't say it as much, but I do like Kansas generally, especially Kansas football. Kansas football specifically. Basketball, fine. But Kansas football, because they're losers.
Emily went to K-State then.
She didn't go to K-State. Her dad did, though. Okay. They're big fans.
So what town is Kansas? What town is Kansas in?
Kansas is in Lawrence, Kansas, and K-State is in Manhattan, the Little Apple. Yeah. Both of which are not far from Kansas City. They're both over in the part of Kansas where people live. where there's, I mean, just kind of that thing where like you get like Nebraska too, like a couple cities right in a row, right by the river, and then a large track of where the interstate leads you out west.
Yeah, no, the 95% of the population of Nebraska lives within 30 miles of each other. Yeah. Uh-huh. 40 miles, sure, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, eventually Lincoln and Omaha will just be one city. There's only about 20 miles separating them right now.
So. Omaha.
Omaha, Omaha. Hey, John, before we get off NCAA basketball, which is, I think this is the longest we've ever done ever.
Yeah, it's March Madness.
I would like to direct your attention to the bottom left corner of the bracket.
In the West.
Number 2, Arizona. Number 15, Long Beach State.
Long Beach State.
Now, I don't know if you had heard this story. You sound a little lost on it when I mentioned it beforehand. But so Long Beach State in Long Beach, California, is coached by Dan Munson.
Okay.
If that name sounds familiar, he was Gonzaga's coach back in the 90s.
Okay.
Before Gonzaga blew up and became, you know, one of the big powerhouse basketball teams.
Right.
So he suffered a loss at the end of the 2020, the end of the season, which plummeted them to fifth in the Big West standings. And he got fired.
Okay.
After 24 years, that's further down the story. I'm not going to go back to it again. Okay. But so he got fired, but they said, you know, hey, you know, you've been here for so long. Why don't you coach the team in the Big West tournament? And they ripped off 3 straight wins and won the Big West Conference tournament. Okay. So now a dead man walking is coaching that team. And if you go on Yahoo Sports, if you just go look up the Long Beach State story, like basically the players felt terrible because they're like, he got fired because we suck. And so they started rallying. And so, it was pretty fresh. He got fired and then they were playing in the tournament on Thursday or whatever. Right. And so maybe the momentum's slowed down now, but, don't be surprised if that Arizona Long Beach State game's a little bit closer than it is, because there's a bunch of motivated kids down there that want to stick it to their school for firing their coach. Let's just put it that way.
Okay.
So
I thought you were talking about Longwood. Okay.
No, I had Longwood mixed up with Long Beach State. Yeah, okay. Because generally the same area too. Longwood's Los Angeles as well. But yeah, so that's what got us started on it. But yeah, no, Long Beach State. So watch out in that bottom left corner. Arizona might have a little bit tougher game than they're expecting. So,
all right, excellent. Well, the other basketball news we have is the Bucks this week, who actually, I mean, they get a win and a loss, but still, they look good. We were texting during the earlier game against the Suns. That was a fun one because it started off fun, got kind of claustrophobic for a little bit there, and then the Bucks just walked away with it at the end. But they hit 18 threes in the first half, tying the NBA record. And
Bobby looked like a man possessed. He had a couple heat checks that were just ridiculous.
Oh, geez. Yeah, he had a couple just great plays. A lot of scoring from a lot of places, obviously, when you're hitting that many threes. The best thing I said, and I told you this too, it's the first time I've seen Middleton look like Middleton in since he was injured the first time.
He looked great. He looked great, and he looked great again tonight, too, not to jump ahead, but he looked great again tonight, too. So
his spin move is better. His defense looked better. His side-to-side looked great. He was making his shot. Like he just,
Well, one thing that's been going on, because Giannis has missed the last two games, both tonight and that Suns game, was that Doc pretty much said you're not – well, he said to the media and he said in the presser that, you know, like, I don't tell any player he can't play. But basically what was coming out was that Doc kind of told them, hey, listen, I need you in April. I need you in May. I need you in June. Don't beat yourself up. We're 10 games behind Boston. Don't worry about it. Right. And I think maybe some of that had to do with Chris Middleton too. Like they even mentioned it during the Suns game. Like maybe he missed a couple more games than what normally you would rushing back from an injury to actually get himself right instead of just being not hurt, you know, like instead actually got healed up so he could play the rest of the season. It has to be. I mean, that's not a far-fetched conclusion because he looked really good. He looked a little out of game shape. You could tell that, but I mean, you can't simulate game shape really, but
no, and
that just being like looking a little bit tired quicker than you usually would. Right. But the dude had his step. He looked good. If you take a couple more games off and you know what, and frankly, that's something the Packers do too. And I don't mind if you take a couple L's in the regular season to make sure your players – the Bucks are still second in the East. They're going to be second in the East. I'm sorry. They're not going to catch up to Boston. So,
well, you're saying that Cleveland's not catching them up again.
Well, that's basically what they're competing with is with Cleveland at this point for second versus third. Just stay ahead of Cleveland. And
if you're the second or the third, you won't see Boston again until the last game anyhow. Almost certainly. I mean, there's almost no way you can't. Yeah.
And the bottom four coming out of the East aren't going to be a problem anyways. The problems are at the top four. And now, especially with Embiid out, not that the 76ers ever do anything in the playoffs anyways, but I mean, second, third, it doesn't matter. And actually, this is a nice thing. This is a problem that was a Bucks problem in the past too. Like especially 2019 when you know they had the best record regular season, blazing into the playoffs, and then they ran into that buzzsaw two games in or through in the third game against Toronto. You know, maybe instead take it easy, dudes. Like make sure everyone's healthy coming in. They're still working stuff out. Dame's finally looking good. You know?
He really does. He looks like he's really comfortable out there. He's hitting the crazy shots again. Like
it's not that he wasn't looking good. He's looking comfortable and he's looking like he's in the system.
It's the types of shots he's hitting now comfortably that are not, I mean, they're not easy shots, but he finds those ways and he makes those shots that you're like, there's the thing I haven't seen for a little bit. It's not that he's been bad, but he hasn't been him. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't felt like himself.
Him with an I or him with a number one in the middle, John?
Him. He is him.
Him with a one in the middle. Okay, got it. That's the dumbest thing ever, by the way.
It's a thing. It happens. So.
It's a thing. I know. It's the dumbest thing. Maybe I'm out of touch. I don't know, but it's pretty dumb. Like, he is him. I'm fine with that. The him with the one in the middle. It's like the Big Ten with the 10 in the name.
Oh, I don't mind that's a logo.
And it's not 10. There's not 10. There's more than 10, depending upon which sport. But no, Phoenix looked really good again without Giannis after a terrible road trip. Come back home, regroup, and just put 140 on, you know, like you said, it got claustrophobic a little bit there in the third, but they
I thought
they,
the Suns
they
had
really
a,
they really put it on him in the fourth quarter.
The like, Suns had an interesting plan. Like if you're watching that, and I know you and I were both watching this game too. The Suns basically when they got down, they went to a donut offense. You know, I mean, like they had nobody. They got no second chance points pretty much the entire game. They were getting killed on the glass, and so they abandoned it, and they said we're gonna play. And this is it worked for them. They said we're gonna play small. They just went with just a smaller group of guys. Grayson Allen had a really good game against the Bucks.
Oh, Grayson
here.
Was great.
He looked fantastic.
I had seller's remorse at the end of that game.
What's his name? The other scorer. They had a guy who stepped out there and was doing well. Why can't I think of his name off the top of my head?
Not Booker.
No, Booker Beal looked good actually. Booker was just okay. Yeah.
Kevin Durant.
Was it O'Neal? I think he looked well. Gordon had a couple good ones too. O'Neal came out there as a power forward. And then went out and shot 4 of 9 from 3, mm-hmm. and kind of what they did is, I mean, they leave him out as power forward out there, and Bobby was not following him out to the 3-point line, mm-hmm. which is kind of fine. And so they had a lot more open looks because the Bucks weren't playing as tight on the line as they needed to. And also the Bucks offense went to less works for some easier shots, trying to take some twos and kind of missed, went in their bag a little bit there, just kind of waiting on it, mm-hmm. Which is fine. That's really what you should do. They needed to pull back and not have to worry about putting up big scores, just basket for basket. They let them catch up by 1 point at a time. They're down by 20. Mm-hmm. But, at the same time, just the Suns had an interesting game plan to say, we're going to abandon the rebound and we're going to try to get the most open threes, not just no contested threes. We want open threes. And they were making them for a good point there. It was mm-hmm. They ended up, I guess, 14 of 33 from three.
They had a big third quarter, if I remember correct, right?
They did. Huge. They win the third quarter 34 to 27. They actually mm-hmm. win the fourth quarter 35 to 31, but that happened early. They made it down to about a 6-point game at points mm-hmm. there early in the fourth. But the Bucks just, then they'd find a couple shots. Lillard would just kill them on a drive. He started going to the hole pretty quickly with the drive. And the Bucks were able to get more second chance points. They were much smarter on the boards. They were just,
which they didn't get tonight against the Celtics. But anyways,
no, they didn't.
But no, so and it was a big game too. What was it? I think Phoenix only had like 6 second chance points by the end of the game. Like it was some ridiculously low number. And the big takeaway on this one is, well, number one, that the Bucks obviously have the Phoenix Suns number.
Yeah.
for teams that don't play very often. but Phoenix might be the most talented team up front in the NBA. Like let's not look away from that. They have high end talent. They've got Durant, they got Booker, they got Beal. Grayson Allen's no joke. I mean, Grayson Allen, he's the number one 3-point shooting guard in the league this year.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be your lead scorer or your lead shooter because they got enough other shooters.
O'Neal and then the big guy. What's the big guy's name that they got? I can't think. It's not.
Hold on. They had to give up a lot on their big guys because they don't have what's his name? Who used to be
they got rid
Arizona?
Ayton's
gone.
He was part of the trade with.
They're playing Nurkic at center now.
Nurkic, which I mean, he's not bad. I mean, but that's your fifth play. I mean, they're a really good team, and the Bucks didn't have Giannis and Bobby after taking a lot of heat early season about trading him or doing whatever stupid ass people were talking about. Like Bobby was on fire. Like there was the one time that he scored. He had more points and minutes for a good chunk of the first half, came off the bench. And there was one time he slow rolled at the end of a play. You could see the other 4 Bucks players roll down and he just stood at the free throw line and he just slowly jogged down and Dame hit him with a pass right at the top of the key about 6 feet behind the arc. And he checked that thing and it didn't touch metal. Like it burned the cotton on the way through. He was on fire and he has been, he's been.
Yeah.
Bobby's a real actual weapon. Like, he will probably be the NBA sixth man of the year this year.
He's been great downstairs.
It might be hard. The Pritchard kid from the Celtics tends to do some big things when he gets in games too, and I'm not sure what else is happening in the West. But I mean, he's proven, and they even said in the post game show today that if the Bucks play this Kendrick Perkins and Windhorst were saying that if they end up seeing the Celtics in the finals, don't play Lopez. I'm getting ahead to the next game now. Yeah, but yeah. Lopez was getting burned by the Porzingis and Horford and everybody else like that. And Bobby's faster and this same size. People forget Bobby's not small. Bobby's a big dude. And honestly, like, he's been playing great. Like,
put him in there instead of Crowder.
100%. Like, Crowder, what the hell is what is the obsession with Crowder? Like, I like the guy, but they should have roles reversed. Mm-hmm. Like,
Crowder can come in, get you a couple cool minutes, maybe hit a three-pointer and look giant doing it. But yeah, Bobby's been so good. He's earned that spot.
Crowder's 6 foot six. He's not big. He looks big, he's not big.
He is wide. Yeah. He's a thick dude.
Big hair. Okay,
yeah, yeah. But you know, I mean, like, this is the thing. Like, it actually moved the Suns out of the sixth spot down in, well, it was the seven, now into the eight. So they're down in the play-in games for the playoffs now. Yeah, they get the tough game in Boston. Boston now clinching. They're the first team to clinch a playoff spot. They're 11 games clear of the Bucks, 12 clear of Cleveland, 13.5 clear of the Knicks.
That home record is unbelievable.
It's an insane record. Yeah. 23-11 on the road. Bucks 27-7 at home. And but they do have that losing record away from home, so yeah, that's something. I think they've been playing way better of late. And they've been doing it without Giannis. Like, tonight was without Giannis, and they were in that game. I mean, they were down.
They were big in the game at the end. Points.
Yeah, they got themselves back in, which is hard down, because they're down by 21.
Yeah. A couple times it was, 21 once, almost 20 a couple times.
Yeah.
They were within one or within two at the end if Bobby would have made a free throw on an and one.
Yeah, they would have been down by one, and then they go down and was it Brown? Jaylen Brown gets the free throws to make it back to four. If Bobby had made his free throw, it would have been a three-point game at that point, and you have the ball in Dame Lillard's hands.
And not blame it on Bobby. Was the reason. Bobby was half the reason why we were.
He had 24 points
at that point. Yeah, yeah, coming down the stretch, and Dame was doing Dame things.
Yeah.
And I would like to point out at the end the Bucks were down by six with about 2 seconds left. Dame brought that thing up the court and shot it from about where the half court meets the sideline. And drained it with 0.3 left to make it a three-point game.
We also got back. They were down, like, again down the stretch there, and hit a big three, and then also Pat Connaughton had a very nice defensive play, got the ball back almost, and set up a couple things, and yeah, cheap reaching foul that it was a foul, just rough one on Beasley at the end there for the basket. Beasley's one of the guys who's actually gone kind of quiet lately. He started off really hot. He was the best part of what we got out of there and really changed the dynamic of the team having him there with Lillard. But, yeah, it's been a bit of a – I don't know. He's had a drop-off is all I can really say on that one. And I still think he's good. He has not played how he was. I'd like to see him get back up before they get to the playoffs, though.
Great. Well, Dame is also proving you can't spell buckets without Buck. Or Bucks.
Okay.
And so, no, that fourth quarter, the Bucks outscored the Celtics 36-21. So, I mean, after being just dominated the first three quarters. So, yeah, it was good resolve for a team that didn't have their number one player.
That tells me, too, a team that can come back like that understands their coach and believes in what's happening. You know, coming back down like that. I feel, and that's the second that I've done that with Doc. They didn't give up. They didn't say, like, nope, that is not our night, which is what Denver did to the Bucks when we started beating them up badly. The Bucks said, no, no. They continue playing.
The Celtics gave up against the Bucks earlier this year, too, if you remember, John.
That's true. But, yeah.
That was the game that they tried to go away to another game because it was such a bad blow at Milwaukee, and the Celtics sat all their starters at halftime.
Yeah, we'll see. Bucks get three straight at home now. Brooklyn, Oklahoma City, and the Lakers.
I had tickets for the Oklahoma City game, but I had to give them up for the spring break because I didn't realize when I was scheduling.
Yeah. But Oklahoma City's, I mean, they're right now the top seed in the West. But other than that, I mean, like, I don't think much of Brooklyn or the Lakers. Then they get to go on the road. Their road games, though, are New Orleans, Atlanta, Washington. And then they're going to have a good stretch.
Oklahoma's the best young team in the league, and it's not even close. They got SGA, who's in the MVP conversation. They got Chet Holmgren. All those picks that they got, all the picks when they sent George to L.A.,
yeah,
you know, and they got back a whole bunch of picks in SGA. They've been banking up picks for the longest time. Oklahoma City, man, if you can make that game or watch it, definitely do, because it's going to be you're going to be watching a team that's going to be dominating the league for about the next 5 years. So, yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, we should wrap up everything we have with the Bucks. I think they got a decent little stretch here. Hopefully, they can get healthy and get ready, and then they'll have a good home stretch here towards the end of the year. They'll get Memphis, Toronto, New York, Boston, Orlando before the last two games are Oklahoma City and then Orlando again. So, yeah, that's what the season looks like wrapping it up here. And we're going to wrap this part up, and we're going to move on to a segment of our show that we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, to start off the last call, we do have to make our finally, we've got it, because Wisconsin River Falls, UW River Falls, has finally won a women's national championship in ice hockey.
No way.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good for them.
It's fantastic. They've been
Falcons.
Undefeated champions, completely undefeated regular season. Rolled through the WIAC championships. Then they played the Frozen Four here. They beat Adrian 3-2. Middlebury and Elmira was a 1-0 game. Elmira gets the win there. Final Four was, or Frozen Four was played in River Falls. And then River Falls 4-1 win for the championship at home against Elmira. Congratulations to the Falcons. National champions. It's been a long road coming because this team has been number one ranked in each of the last four seasons at some point, and they've been so close. They've been the number one seed a couple years now, and then they just seem to have some sort of bugaboo about the tournament. So it's so good to see them actually get in and get that win, and it's fantastic to see now.
Makes sense. I mean, they're so close to the cities. They should be getting the talent down there.
Yeah. We had mentioned St. Norbert had been still alive coming into last weekend. They played Adrian again. Adrian, who St. Norbert had beaten in the NCHA conference championship to get in. They were the automatic qualifier. Adrian had to get in at large. Adrian then just crushes Wisconsin's hopes by having beaten Stevens Point 4-0 and then beating St. Norbert in Adrian 5-3. Men's Frozen Four for D3 is Trinity versus Adrian and Hobart versus Utica. Women's national championships, the Frozen Four is all set. Traditional powerhouses here at this point. Ohio State returning runner-up. The number one seed, they'll play Clarkson. Clarkson Knights, they've been a consistently good women's hockey program for several years now. They played a national championship game against Wisconsin a couple years back, as you do, I'm sure several people recall if you listen to our show. The other bracket is Wisconsin versus Colgate. So it is two Big Ten schools who are it's the WCHA for women. I don't know why there's not a women's Big Ten. It doesn't make any sense to me. But they'll be playing against, you know, East Coast schools, you know, colleges that start with the letter C. So Colgate and Clarkson. My guess is we'll be seeing Wisconsin, Ohio State again, which has been a fantastic lineup. It was a great game last year. The conference championship was fantastic this year. And we've had a lot of good games between these two programs. And I think we'll get another chance to see that again here coming up. These games will be in Durham, New Hampshire. All right.
Sure, that sounds like a real place.
Yeah. So they'll have that, and then they'll play none of these schools, obviously, are out there. But, yeah, we'll see Ohio State versus Clarkson, Wisconsin versus Colgate. The winners will play then. Again, these games will be on ESPN+. Plus. The women's championship will be on ESPNU. So take a look at that. Men's bracket still awaiting the end of championship weekend, which was just finished up. We don't have a men's bracket just yet. Frozen Four is set to be in St. Paul, Minnesota, so that could be a fun one. If we can get the Badgers up there going into St. Paul, I believe they'll be playing probably at the Excel Center then. So that would be a lot of fun. Maybe we should see where that is because I guess I'll be in trial. It's April 11th, and the championship game will be April 13th. But they start the games on the 28th and 29th. Will be round one, the regional round for men's hockey. Michigan State versus Michigan for the Big Ten championship. In terms of wrestling, next weekend we will see Wisconsin wrestling head back to the NCAAs. Five Badgers qualified for the Nationals. We have at 184 Shane Legal. He is the 22nd seed. This is the first time he's qualified and for the D1 qualification after placing seventh in the 2024 Big Ten Championships. He's a 2021 NCAA champion in D3 and a four-time NCAA All-American in D3, but he's up, you know, he obviously transferred and now he's in Wisconsin. Max Maylor is he's 14th ranked, but he is the 17th seed in the NCAAs this year, so he is going to be in there as well. He finished 7th at the Big Ten Championships. Dean Hamidi, Big Ten champion this year. He is the 5th seed coming into this. We have the 19th seeded Joseph Zargo. He is the 16th ranked, but 19th seeded. He is a 3-time NCAA qualifier. And Eric Barnett reaching his 4th NCAA tournament. He is the 10 seed. He is the 7th ranked, according to NCAA coaches' ranking. But he's the 10th seed coming into this tournament. In terms of the D3 championships, actually happened this last weekend. So we had several teams in. Three Wisconsin schools place in the top five. La Crosse finishes 3rd. They actually hosted the championship. It was at the La Crosse Center in La Crosse. And UW-Eau Claire finishes 5th. They had 69 points. Eau Claire finished, nice. La Crosse finished with 82.5. Augsburg wins the championship with 95 total points. They had 2 firsts, 2 fifths, and 2 sevenths from their wrestlers. So in 4th place is Johnson and Wales. Wales, like the country. Not really a country, I guess, because they don't let them be a country over there anymore. But kind of a country. Historically a country, but yeah.
I'd look it up, but I already looked up something else obscure. So
I know. You got anything obscure there to add as we finish up?
University of New Hampshire is in Durham, New Hampshire. Okay. So, I mean, which would make sense, right? I mean, you're not going to have, you know, major college hockey in some non-college town, right?
Like, you'd it's hope not. At the, yeah.
Right. So, but I didn't realize that that's where it was in Durham, New Hampshire. So there you go.
Yeah, Johnson and Wales University is in, was originally founded as Johnson and Wales Business School in 1914. Their motto is the Wildcat Way, pride, courage, character, and community. They're a private university. They are, trying to see, I think they're in Rhode Island. They have a Providence campus. Okay, so Providence, Rhode Island. They also apparently have a Charlotte, North Carolina campus. That's strange. Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, their colors are blue and white. They are the Wildcats. Go Wildcats.
Durham has a permanent population of 16,000 people, John.
16,000.
And it is a very small town. It's right on the border of New Hampshire and Maine.
Holy cow, they have a lot of campuses for this university. Providence campuses. There's more than one. North Miami campus, Charlotte campus, Denver campus, Charleston campus, and a Norfolk campus. Wow. So they must have like a whole, yeah, a whole big thing here. I'm just trying to see if they have any fun, notable alumni we can point out too. Oh, a guy who was on Hell's Kitchen Season 3, Rahman Rock Harper.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's something.
That's my boy.
There we go. Ben Silverman, professional golfer.
There we go.
A lot of chefs. They have a good culinary school, apparently. And also D3 Wrestling. All right, everybody. That's what we get you learning about the Wildcats of Johnson & Wales University and whatever other kind of random D3 schools we can find. Thank you for joining us for another wonderful week of random D3 schools and also Wisconsin sports. Glad to have you with us, whether you're in the state, across the United States, or around the world. Like we said, we're always glad to have you, but we won't be here next week. So we'll see you in April. Take care of yourselves out there. Whether you're on the town or on the go, always remember, though, it is on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.